Welcome back to the Earl Ingram Show. As always, you can join us at 844-967-2789. That's 844-967-2789. You can text us at that same number. You're here with Sandy Williams. And Sandy, you know, this is an article from the director of the Center for Economic Development Research at Georgia Tech. And so the every economist, it doesn't mean because you're an economist you always see eye to eye with other economists, right? I mean, it's not an exact science, but is it really the opinions of each economist based on what they know when we talk about these kinds of policies and things? Or
There's never unanimity amongst economists, first of all, ever almost. But second of all, something as complex as what is it that's causing the current inflation, there's a number of factors. Some of it is the result of...
You mean it's not Joe Biden?
Well, Joe Biden's only been in office for a year and a half. So the fact is inflation has set in during the year and a half. But that particular article is looking at policies over the past 4.5 years, which, of course, only three of those years are prior to Joe Biden. A year and a half includes Joe Biden. So that article wouldn't be able to point the finger at Joe Biden. But if you look at the policy they're talking about is the so-called quantitative easing policy that the Federal Reserve used, which was to essentially buy up debt, both federal debt as issued by the federal government as well as corporate debt, to buy up debt and hold it in the Treasury's hands, and then to essentially create money that way by buying debt with money that was created by the Federal Reserve, and then to ultimately at some point sell that debt, which would be to reverse the process.
So a dangerous practice?
Well, dangerous not. I mean, dangerous, no. Experimental, yes.
Right.
Quantitative easing had not been used in a substantial degree before the period of the Bush, the financial system collapse at the end of the Bush presidency. And then during the Obama period and during the Trump period, quantitative easing continued. It was handled by the Federal Reserve, which is supposedly something outside the domain of politics. And it was designed to create another funnel for adding money to the economy that was not fiscal fiscal revenue deficits run by the federal government. So you can fuel the economy a couple of ways. You can run a big deficit by the federal government where the federal government spends more than it takes in revenue. That's expansionary. And then quantitative easing was another way to add money into the economy. And it was done. It was done for a long period of time without really having much impact on interest rates, meaning that the government, the economy was not overfueled with money. Well, the prices were not getting bid up. We did not have inflation, we had essentially no inflation, and we had very low interest rates as a result of no inflation. Inflation is the measurement of the imbalance between money and goods. So what then happened recently that has created inflation was a shortage of goods. So we've had this amount of money fueling the economy, but there wasn't a shortage and things weren't being bid up in price. And then more recently, now they've been bid up in price, and the question is why? Well, I think the major triggering point has been shortage, okay? And shortage was created at the time through the tariffs, through the pandemic, and through the supply chain kinks that were created by both of those factors. And so now we have shortage, and we have shortage across the world, and the Ukrainian war then accelerated that and put it in a shortage in a very important sector of the world economy, which is energy.
So, Sandy, now we have all of those things. Recession is going to be forthcoming. With the supply chain...
Well, but incidentally, as we talked about off the air, we were going to have a recession sometime between 2008. We had a recession in 2008 as the result of the financial collapse. Since then, we've had essentially a constant period of expansion. We would have had some recession between then and now if we had not had these expansion, policies to essentially... to support the economy in ways that would avoid recession.
So now that all of these factors are here, during the time of the recession, will the supply chain situation get better because of the recession?
Well, one of the solutions to shortage is recession, right? If you shave demand down, shortage becomes less pronounced. So it's sort of an ugly, painful solution to shortage, but recession will help to solve the shortage problem. And hopefully the supply chain problem, the kinks in the supply chain, which are frictional, meaning that it'll take some time to get the kinks out of the chain, but that friction in the supply chain is in the process of working its way out. The kinks are in the process of working themselves out. So unless there are dynamic changes in the world again to create new kinks, the supply chain should work itself out over time and smooth itself out so that it would be more responsive to world needs and less inclined to create shortages that would support the inflationary trend.
So let's kind of, you know, play this out, if you will. 2022, the midterm elections, we are in recession. All of 2023. Going to 2024 still likely.
Let me just say that recession is a technical term that relates to GDP and the decline of GDP over
a period of time. But it also means people being laid off.
But GDP can relate to GDP is the measurement though.
Okay.
And so GDP can continue to rise as the result of price rises, which is inflation, right? So inflation can at least mask for a while a reduction in output. You can have reduced output and increased prices, and you still have an increasing GDP. At some point, the correlation between reduced output and GDP connects, and you now have a recession. But meanwhile, with the increase in prices, this inflation is causing pain to a variety of people, voters in particular.
Well, so
I think you'd be hard pressed to tell people that the economy was doing great as far as they were concerned when they're suffering prices at the grocery store,
yes,
gas pump, and all these places that remind them all the time that they're actually making less real dollars.
Well, Sandy, that's kind of what I'm trying to get at, because Democrats and Biden and the people are saying, well, the economy's doing great and all these things, and people are looking at, hey, the economy may be doing great, but I'm not.
Yeah, I mean,
and so I don't care about the economy doing great if I'm struggling in it. It doesn't benefit me. And so we know that that's going to have impact in the 2022 elections. It certainly looks for all the world, because it's global recession, that 2024 we may still be in recession, or just barely climbing out of it. Well, by then, Republicans could probably have taken over the Congress and other things. I mean, we're in an unstable period,
well,
right?
Interestingly, CJ wants to pat the Republicans on the back and say that it's Republicans that bring prosperity to America. But the fact is that the Donald Trump period, which was just a continuation of the growing prosperity that he inherited from Barack Obama, but if you look at the history of Democratic presidents and Republican presidents over the last 50 years, most of the prosperity in America has occurred during the period of Democratic presidencies. Okay? So Democratic presidencies have been a period of significant prosperity, and there's only been two periods apparently where that might not be the case: the Jimmy Carter period, and right now we do have prosperity in America, but we have inflation, which is causing Tom, Dick, and Mary to suffer at the grocery store.
So what would you attribute the fact that the Democrats over that 50-year period, what is it about their policies that would bring that
prosperity?
Yes.
Well, I think it has a lot to do with the general financial community's view of the predictability of government, the solidity of the governmental arrangements, you know, Republicans have just basically tried to fight for tax reductions, and that's what they've been all about, and it hasn't been terribly successful.
You know, we've got to go to a break. Our phone lines are open at 844-967-2789, 844-967-2789. You can text us at that same number. It's Friday. That means Friday's with Sandy Williams. We'll be right back.
The prayer so long for you to release, not just on those urban bloodstained streets, but in every war-torn country where hate, pain, and guilt.